Today is September the 6th, 2020, Labor Day weekend. And if you would, open your Bibles or your app to Philippians chapter 3. You know, in the morning, I like to read my Bible from my phone, from an app. I think it's called YouVersion. And I like it because I can switch to other versions real quickly. And the other morning, you know, I sat down and I'm ready to read, and for some reason that app would not open. And I'm like, well, this is kind of weird. And then, you know, I checked to make sure I had an internet connection, and that was fine. So let me just go to another Bible app that I have on my phone. And that wouldn't open either. And I'm like, well, I know I have internet connection. And then I actually tried another Bible app. I think it's called Blue Letter. I use that a lot in studying. And it wouldn't open either. So guess what? I grabbed my Bible, you know, the one with paper pages. And I was telling Kathy, I said, you know, I've never had a problem opening this Bible, but sometimes you might have a problem opening an app. So the technology sometimes it has some glitches, but I'm grateful for the technology, grateful for what we can do here on Sundays during this crazy time. And like last night, I'm so thankful for the technology that I was able to be video teaching to the guys there at the Phoenix Rescue Mission. So thankful for the technology, but sometimes there are glitches. So Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to begin this morning. And in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, this one thing I do. And it's one thing with two parts to it. You know, there are other two-part processes in God's Word. In Hebrews 12, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You can't run very well with a lot of weight, can you? So it's a two-part process. Lay aside every weight and then run with patience. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, that's a two-part process. Casting down imaginations and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Ephesians says, put off the old man and put on the new man. And so here in Philippians, he said, this one thing I do, it's a two-part process, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead. So, what things behind us are we supposed to forget? Earlier in this chapter, Paul talks about some of his very impressive credentials, and they are impressive. In verse 4, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, exactly like it's supposed to be, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Ooh, that's impressive. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, or becoming blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Credentials are nice, but look what was most important to him. And so, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead. And in addition to impressive credentials, a lot of times, you know, we see this verse and we think about forgetting all the junk we've done in the past, right? Forgetting those things which are behind. And, you know, forgetting those things and at the same time accepting God's forgiveness, right? And we're very right to do that. Forgetting our junk in the past and accepting God's forgiveness. Paul had some junk in his past to forget, didn't he? I mean, it's really hard for me to think of anything worse than killing God's people, killing God's children. Paul did, and God forgave him. You know, sometimes people feel unworthy or reluctant, we'll say, to pray and ask God for help because they've not accepted his forgiveness for something in the past. And, you know, that unworthiness, that really interferes with your prayer life. In Walter Cummins' teaching last week, he reminded us that as born-again ones, we have access to God our Father with confidence. Guilt, shame, sin consciousness, unworthiness, condemnation, all of that, that always interferes and interrupts your relationship with God, which in turn keeps you from trusting God. You know why? Well, you know, you can know how good God is. God is great. God is kind. God is loving. You can quote verses, but with, you know, some of the things that I've done in my life, oh boy, why would he want to do anything for me? I've screwed up so bad. Who am I that he should do anything for me? Look at Galatians chapter 1. Back up just a bit. Galatians chapter 1. Paul had some junk in his life he had to get over. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For you have heard of my conversation, my lifestyle, my manner of life, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that I beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Oh my goodness, wasted it. And yet this very man went from wasting the church of God, arresting, throwing people in prison, executing them. He went from all of that to being one of the greatest believers of all time. How did he do that? How did he get to that point? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." By the grace of God, I am who I am. And for you and me, it's also true. By the grace of God, you are who you are. And who you are is who God says you are, not who you think you are, thinking of the junk you've done in the past. By the grace of God, I am who I am. That's how Paul did it. And that's how we can do it. And really, that's the only way to do it. Grace, as I'm sure you know, is unearned and undeserved favor. Paul understood grace, By His grace, I am who I am. Well, who was he in his mind? Who did he see himself as? A murderer? A Pharisee of the Pharisees? Nope. Paul saw himself how God sees each one of us who are born again. God's child, holy and acceptable, righteous in God's eyes, saved with eternal life, forgiven of all our sins, not by anything that we have done. It's all by God's grace because of the completed work of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all by God's grace. And Paul chose to accept God's grace and forgiveness. It's the only way he could have moved on. It's the only way he could forget those things which are behind. And he had some junk to get over, don't you think? If you would look at Ephesians 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace," grace, "to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." We are accepted. "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Christ died, paid the price. "The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." That's why we have forgiveness of sins, because Jesus Christ paid the price according to the riches of his grace. It's God's great grace. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, "And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him," look at this, "having forgiven you all trespasses," even the ugly ones. Isn't that amazing? The Apostle Paul did not allow guilt, shame, sin consciousness, condemnation, unworthiness over what he had done in the past to rule his life. He had to forget those things. He had to deal with his mind to forget those things. And the way he did that was he chose to believe what Christ accomplished and accept God's grace and forgiveness. You know, that verse that we read in Corinthians, Paul didn't say, "By my long prayers, I am who I am. By my great commitment to God, I am who I am. By my study of the scriptures, that's who I am. By all my sufferings, by being faithful every day." No. "By the grace of God, I am who I am. And by the grace of God, you are who you are." So much of Christianity has it all backwards. You know, a lot of times they teach the more good things you do, the more you pray, the more you read the Bible, the more scriptures that you can memorize, the closer you get to God. And then the more he loves you, and then he sees you as a really holy person. It's all backwards. Paul built his spiritual life on who God made him to be because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for every born-again believer. Jesus Christ's completed work, that's the foundation. Not your works, not my works, but Jesus Christ's works. That's the foundation. That's what we build upon, and it's grace. And now for you and me, by God's grace, I am who I am. So that's how we too can forget the past and really get rid of all the guilt and the shame and the sin consciousness and the condemnation by accepting God's grace. And that means accepting what God did for us because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Accepting who we really are in God's eyes. Accepting that he has forgiven us all sins, all gone, all wiped away by God's grace. It's the only way to do it. And we just read in Ephesians that we have forgiveness. And you know why we have forgiveness? We just read it. Not because we're so sorry. Oh, I guess God's going to forgive me because I'm really sorry this time. Not because we promise God, "I'm never going to do that again, I promise." No. We have forgiveness because Jesus Christ paid the price for all sins, the sins of the whole world. And Paul chose to accept God's grace and forgiveness. He chose to accept God's unconditional love for him. He chose to accept God's forgiveness. And that's how Paul did it. And one more point about forgetting those things that are behind. What things? Well, my junk, my past, my shortcomings, the things I have done. Yes, indeed. But what about forgetting the things other people have done to you that hurt you? What about forgetting those? I mean, do you really want to carry that baggage with you? Why? You know, carrying that kind of baggage is not healthy. Carrying bitterness, anger, animosity towards someone, even if they were totally wrong, even if they hurt you deeply, he hurt me so deeply. Carrying that, not forgiving them, is unhealthy for you physically and emotionally. One of the things that research shows, scientific research, is that anger can adversely affect your immune system. Isn't that something? A medical study showed that the anger, frustration, and sadness can take away your youth thanks to an increase in the stress hormone called cortisol. An increase in cortisol has been shown to shorten telomeres. I don't know how to pronounce that, but they are located on the tips of your DNA chromosomes. They're linked to biological aging. A 2011 study from the Journal of Biological Psychology found that forgiveness reduced cortisol response. And, you know, been in the pages of the Bible like forever, right? Where God says forgive. So now we have these scientific discoveries that, wow, forgiveness reduces cortisol response. From John Hopkins, studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, including lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, and reducing pain, blood pressure, and levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. Forgiveness. And research points to an increase in the forgiveness health connection as you age. Oh my goodness. I suppose we better read Ephesians 4. Very familiar verse. But look at Ephesians 4. God has had it in his word. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And of course, the context of this is the renewed mind, putting off the old, putting on the new. Isn't it interesting? This verse has both your junk and other people's junk. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We forgive other people the junk they've done to us because God's forgiven us of all the junk we've ever done. The things you've done that you need to accept God's forgiveness and forget about, as well as the thing others have done to you, who you now need to forgive and forget about it. Let it go. You know, whether employers, past or present, co-workers, past or present, family, friends, companies, governments, elected officials, forgive. And then forgetting those things which are behind. Three of the main reasons people have a hard time forgiving someone else. Number one, that person doesn't deserve it. Why should I forgive him? He's a jackass. I'm not going to forgive him. Number two, he's not even sorry. You know, you think he'd apologize? No. He's not even sorry for what he did. Number three, well, can't really forgive him because somehow that would excuse what he did. You know, you can't find those three lame excuses in the scriptures anywhere. We just read what God said, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Remember when Peter asked Jesus, hey, how many times I got to forgive my brother here? What do you think, seven? Would that be enough? And Jesus said, oh, yeah, sure. Seven times 70. How about that, Peter? Remember our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hanging on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know if I'd have been able to say that. I don't know. I might have been praying, Father, send some lightning bolts. That's what he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look at the verse before this, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of the bitterness. It's not healthy for you, for your physical body. Forgive people and let it go. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In Colossians 3, look at this in Colossians 3. In verse 8 it says, But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. See, this is part of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Sometimes even believers carry something for years. You know, they say, well, yeah, I've forgiven them. But you know what? They really just don't let it go. They don't embrace the other believer with open arms like as if it had never, ever happened. You know, sometimes it's kind of like a conditional forgiveness, which God doesn't do for us, right? No. And we are to be imitators of God as dear children, as if it never happened. That's how God treats us. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And I'm not saying that we just allow someone to continue to hurt us over and over. I'm not saying that. You know, there are times where we just have to graciously excuse ourselves. But even in those situations, we still need to forgive and forget those things, you know. And sometimes we just graciously get out of the kitchen. I'm going over here now, so to speak. You know, one of the best ways to not forgive and to hold on to bitterness and past hurts, one of the best ways is to replay it again in your mind. Oh, yeah, I remember the time they did that thing. Why in the world would you want to replay it? That's not putting it off. That's not casting down. That's not refusing to think about it. That's not forgetting the past and moving ahead, pressing toward the mark. You know, that's not doing that. So, a big part of forgetting those things that are behind are, one, forgive yourself and accept God's grace and forgiveness. Two, forgive others. Leave that stuff in the past and move ahead, looking to the future. And, you know, sometimes it takes effort to forget those things that are behind, to forget the past, to accept God's forgiveness. The battle's always in the mind with the thoughts, forgetting those things that are behind. So let's go back to Philippians where we started, chapter 3. And let's start in verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Oh, wouldn't that be great for us to be, you know, gathered together? Not as though I had already attained, not there yet. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. You know, Ephesians tells us we are seated in the heavenlies. It's in heaven from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We forget the past and reach forth to those things that are before. We press toward the mark for the prize. Our eyes are on the future, and our future looks really, really good, doesn't it? This is how we stay the course. You know, in look at First Corinthians chapter 15. Right at the end of that chapter, you know, after God gives us all this great detail concerning the gathering together, at the very end of that, in verse 58, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's how you press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You can't do that if you're carrying a bunch of crap about yourself in your mind. You can't do that if you're carrying bitterness towards other people. You don't need that weight in your life. That's not how you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, that's where we're going to close, 2 Timothy chapter 4. This again was at the end of Paul's life. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's how Paul pressed toward the mark, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead. He fought the good fight. He kept the right way of believing, and he finished his course. So can we. And the next verse says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. At that great day, as it says in Corinthians, every person will receive his or her own reward for their own work. The rewards, the compensation, crowns. And just like Paul said, you know, we haven't attained it yet, have we? No. But for our lives to be blessed along the way, as we wait for that great day when Christ returns, we don't need excess baggage. There's enough to deal with besides carrying the past. You know, the present's pretty well plenty to handle, isn't it? We don't need the excess baggage. It just weighs us down. It just robs us of our joy. It interferes with our prayer life. And so, like it says in Hebrews, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Like it says in Corinthians, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Like it says in Ephesians, put off the old man and put on the new. And like we read in Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, let's press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, because Jesus Christ is coming back. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our great, wonderful Heavenly Father, we praise you for your power, for your love, for your goodness. We are so grateful and humbled to be called your children, to be made beloved and accepted in your sight. We're so thankful that you have forgiven us of all of our sins and made us righteous in your eyes. Father, for giving us the great gift of eternal life. Father, we so anticipate the day you send your Son back for us. And until then, Father, may we forget those things that are behind and may we stay the course. May we keep the faith. Father, may we fight the good fight and may we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Thank you, Father, for all you have done for each one of us. And I pray for every person on this phone-in fellowship this morning, Father. I pray and ask you to bless their lives, to help them, to give them what they need. And Father, may we all just continue to trust you as we wait for that glorious day when you send your Son back. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here again this morning on this phone-in fellowship. This teaching will be posted on the blog today, and we're going to be back here again next Sunday, unless the big trumpet sounds and the Lord returns. So until either happens, stay the course, fight the good fight, keep the faith, and finish your course. Have a blessed week. I love you, and may God bless you.